to have like a tiny bit of guilt about what I did.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about funerals and other post-death rituals put on by the living to mourn the passing of a friend or loved one.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Molly Glover.
Hello.
And today, we are going to put the fun in funeral.
Yeah. Yes. Yay. Yeah.
We're going to attempt. We're going to attempt to put the...
Atheist comedians talking about funerals.
Yeah. So, as folks that don't believe in an afterlife as a part of not believing in anything really, magical or, mm-hmm. or whatever. Death rituals are kind of a point of thought, I would say, for atheists where, we might not feel the traditional death rituals fit for us because they are inherently steeped in religion.
Yeah,
more or less.
Yeah, and this came up for me for a couple of reasons. I had a friend die just this last week, very suddenly. She was young. She was in her 30s.
Mm-hmm.
She collapsed in her home, and she was dead before she reached the hospital. And the Dregs are playing her reception next week, and it's a funeral that's taking place at a church.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually...
Was she religious?
We had some talks about religion, and... I would say she was lightly Christian agnostic. That would be my interpretation.
Lapsed, maybe.
Yeah, I mean...
That's spiritual kind of Christian.
Yeah, non-practicing.
Yeah, she was well aware that I was a non-believer.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't seem fazed by it at all. And she was kind of like, yeah, religion, whatever. Was kind of the way I got...
Okay.
I interpreted it.
With sure.
Her, and maybe that was incorrect. I don't know. I mean, we were friends, but we weren't the best of friends, so...
Mm-hmm.
So, when we talked about religion, it wasn't the really deep religious talks. It was just, surface commentary on such things.
Yeah.
But she, and she's getting, her funeral is in actually the same church that my fellow band member Rachel got married in.
Oh,
so they're that's a pretty, nice church, too.
It's a nice church, and they're pretty, pretty liberal,
mm-hmm.
everybody's okay, but we're going to talk about God
at
the church, but...
I mean, it's a churchy church.
It's a churchy church.
It's not like one of those hippie churches where they try to make it look like it's not a church, and maybe you'll forget we're talking about Jesus.
Right.
It's definitely like full on Catholic.
Lots of stained glass.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought it was. I think it's Catholic because the pastor is a woman. So.
It was Episcopalian.
It's Episcopalian. Yeah. That's the.
So it just looks.
It looks Catholic, but it's but it's not.
Catholic
it's not.
Light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's progressive Catholic.
More like Catholic polite.
Yeah. So, nice. And I mean, we actually played another funeral for another Dregs fan who died last year. So this has come up a couple of times where I've gone to these funerals and
will the Dregs kill next?
Yeah, well, exactly. We're going to start killing them off as fast as we can because...
It's gigs.
Yeah, it is gigs.
I went to a funeral...
But whatever, it still worked.
Well, and I went to a funeral for a friend who died very young. He was 40 just last year too, and it was a similar thing. He wasn't a believer, but his parents were. And since he didn't have anyone else, he didn't have a person in his life. He had friends, but he didn't have like a significant other to take over and be like, no, this is what he wanted. This is he wouldn't want a church. So really the funeral was more for his parents.
Well,
in that way, because funerals are for the living,
right.
Which is one of that's a concept that's really, I think, an adult concept to grasp.
Yeah, but so if the funerals are for the living and the living people are religious, does it matter that the person that died wasn't religious if the funeral is for the living?
That's a good question. It's difficult for me to go to these funerals. I find that as an atheist, when somebody stands up there and says something like they died for a reason or they're in a better place or something like that, it makes me angry because I feel like it's a lie and I don't actually feel like it gives any comfort. The idea that God had a reason to kill this woman who had two children and they're basically the same age as my children. So, you know, think about that. Mm-hmm. Her son went off to school that morning and then got called out of school because his mom died.
Yeah.
And it's like, what part of God's plan is that? Why would you even bring that up? You know, and I'm not even saying that this is a problem with God, if God existed. Yeah, this is a problem with humans justifying this tragedy by saying, well, God did it for a reason.
Well, and so to you, that doesn't give any comfort. But I mean, I think for some people, it genuinely does, which I find horrifying that there's a reason the saying is out there, that for a good number of people saying, oh, this is all part of God's plan, everything happens for a reason. You know, God needed another angel. That's why your 3-year-old died.
Angels aren't people.
Things like that. Yeah, that's. I mean, someone up there, that is the thing that they cling to. That's their life raft for when nonsensical, unthinkable things like this, like what happened to your friend, happen. But they've never been a balm for me. And
I don't understand where the comfort comes from.
I don't. It's a cognitive dissonance.
Because I would be sitting there going, well, why would God have a plan that involves fucking over these kids?
Well, why Mark stopped being religious. Like, why he became an atheist was when his daughter got cancer, and it was like, oh, well, that's it then. Like, I don't see how I can. How is this part of a plan? There can't be a plan if this is part of a plan.
Yeah.
And if there is a plan and this is part of it, then the plan is stupid, and I don't believe it. I'm not gonna.
Mark Lazarczyk.
I'm not gonna. You know. Respect
you. So that makes it difficult to go to a funeral. For me, you know, but there is the point, and your point is well taken, that if it is giving comfort to somebody else, you kind of have to, you kind of have to just go, all right, well, then it's not, I don't know, is it bad? Is it, if this lie is giving comfort to people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of the whole, like, dilemma of an atheist's criticism of religion is religion, regardless of whether or not religion is true, is the ultimate, is it a wash? Does religion do more good than harm? You know, is there harm in just believing in nonsense because it's nonsense, and, you know, or bad ideas, or it encourages, you know, sexism, racism, etc. Who gets to decide, and how do you even fucking measure sort of thing? Tim, does Pat know what you want to happen with you when you die?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Well, I want to be cremated. I sure don't want to be buried. That's been really clear. I guess I don't want a funeral in a church, a memorial service, but I also want it to be whatever's right for her.
Right.
I'm not going to know.
Right. I've always thought it was weird when people have, like, music lists that they insist. They're like, I need this played at my funeral. But to me, that's been more of, it's like, well, then play it for the people while you're alive. Like that's, tell people you love these songs while you're alive so that they can know it while you're here, and not like, oh, I remember they told me. Like, it just seems like a weird thing to find out at a funeral that someone was really into.
I just want Hakuna Matata played on a loop.
I had a friend who had stage 5 breast cancer, and they held her memorial service while she was still alive.
See, that's, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, I suppose if I knew I was dying, I'd rather do it that way.
That's what my grandpa kind of had. They had my grandpa's and grandma's 60th wedding anniversary was like 3 weeks before he died. And he was real sick, and they knew it was going to be very soon. And my grandma said to my mom, like, I don't know what to say in this speech that you want me to give. I don't know what to say in this speech. I've been thinking about what I would say at his funeral, but I don't know what to say about right now. My mom's like, say everything that you would say at the funeral, like, about him. Like, why would you, why wait? Like, why wait for that? Say it now. Like, all the good things about him that you love.
It's not a luxury that a lot of people get.
It's true. And so I think that, that's, I almost hope that I die of a cancer, that at least I find out and have the time to say goodbye rather than like an accident or the way that I've been convinced I will die since I was a child, which is murdered by strangers.
Well, statistically, it's usually the husband. But,
I know.
What do you want done?
I want to be cremated, and I absolutely want a party that is like celebratory and no quiet, mournful music. Like just like a party. Like if it was my birthday party, but instead I'm just dead. Like that's kind of what I would want. Like sure. Lots of booze, lots of food.
Lots of goats.
Lots of, right? Oh man. Just like, a petting zoo so people can pet baby goats. I want it to be a celebration of life, even though I hate when people say, like, we're having a celebration of life, instead. But
it's a little bit of a cliche.
Little bit cliche, but that is what I want. Like, I don't want anything that's like, let's talk about all the sad stuff, but obviously, like, I can't control that, and people are going to be sad, and they have the right to be. But, like, what Bill had, Bill Young.
Yeah.
That was great. Like, that was sad and amazing and wonderful and fun and, like, old video clips and pictures of him. And, like, I would love people to show shit from Bill shows if they have it. Like, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Boy.
What about you?
You know, cremated, obviously.
You should, by the way, say cremated after every single useful organ in my body.
No doubt.
Take my skin.
cremate whatever's unusable. Bonus points if someone throws it in the eyes of a Nazi. Like,
ooh.
Like if my ashes get into the face of
I will make this happen.
A neo-Nazi protester person, like, oh.
Even if
I don't believe in an afterlife, but I might, like, make this, one just so I can enjoy that.
This is such a good reason to keep my record really clean so that, like, when it happens, the assault charge I get filed with is the only one I have. And they're very likely going to go easy on me.
Especially if it was in his will and it happened within a short time of his passing. I mean, clearly.
I don't know, Tim. See, if there's all that stuff, then it's super premeditated.
Yeah.
Like, if it, I don't know. Like, there's, you got to.
Oh, no, now there's a recording of us talking about it.
Oh, no. But, yeah, I mean, oh, boy. I've only been to, like, 3 funerals, I think.
Mm-hmm.
One was Bill Young's.
I've been to 3 with you, so.
I've maybe only been to 4
if you count my grandpa's.
I've maybe only been to 1 prior to us being
then
together.
Then you've been to 5.
Okay. Very few funerals. But Bill Young's does stick out in my mind as something that. I would love it if it was a room full of friends, family, and comedians just exchanging stories about me. Kind of a stand up and grab the mic and say what you want to say type thing.
Yeah.
And I know there'd be people who'd the best part of this is I know Molly would be there. Like, someone would get up and say something about me, and Molly would be like, whatever. You didn't know him very well. Fuck you. Fuck you and your story. Like I anticipate your bitterness at
just in my head. It'd be like,
at certain people talking or saying things and be like, whatever. You didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's what I would want.
Tim, if the dregs are still together. When you die, do you want the dregs to play at your funeral?
Sure.
Whoa, yeah. Meta kind of.
Yeah, right?
Sure, that'd be great. I would love it.
I mean, I don't know who's going to play the drum, but.
a drum
who's
machine.
Sing half the songs. But yeah. But they can work that out. They can.
We'll get one of those get 4 pints shy to play a funeral.
What do you hate at a funeral? Like, what's something, let's say, like what's something that happens maybe that you absolutely do not want at your funeral?
I hate readings from the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
I hate them. It's just like none of them are.
I don't want any Bible stuff. I don't mean, I obviously don't want any Bible stuff. But
when we're talking about funerals, that's what happens a lot. I honestly, at memorial services, there is some point, especially the services where it's like somebody get up and tell a story and it's like you've been there for 2 fucking hours.
Oh, yeah.
And there's 50 people that all want to get up and tell a story about how much this person meant to them. And all the stories are bad because none of them know how to tell a fucking story.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah.
And it's just, I don't want to say that it's wrong for people to do that. I understand they're processing their grief. I understand they want to tell these stories. And I understand that these stories are really important for the people that love that person. Mm-hmm. But like at the funeral that's going to happen this week, there's, a section that who knows how long it's going to go where people are going to stand up and tell stories about Anna. And she was a great person. And I think it's fantastic. And yet I also know that there's going to be a whole bunch of them just going to go, oh, my God, get to the point.
So knowing that at your funeral, there will be a disproportionate number of good storytellers and comedians. Do you want people to tell stories at your funeral or not?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what things in a memorial service would you not want?
What I don't want is someone who I don't know, who I never met talking about me to my loved ones and family.
Like leading it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I don't
want. Funeral director or the whatever.
It makes me so mad. We went to my oldest friend Victor's funeral for his mom.
Yeah.
Who I knew since I was 13. And she was like this pack of kids' mom, basically. And she's a great woman. And the guy who led her funeral services was just some asshole. Like, I don't know if they ever met. She was the leader of the church next door to her, Iron Range Church or something like that.
Same with Carl's.
And he talked about her like he knew her, and he talked about Victor like he knew Victor. And it made me super mad.
That was a bad one.
And unhappy about the whole thing, and I know he was really that's why it made me unhappy is because I knew Victor wouldn't like it.
Well, I
wouldn't like it either. Someone talking about me that way,
I wouldn't want that. And I think that's what happens when you have a funeral in a church. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, is you got to go with whoever the pastor of the church is.
Right.
Yep.
If that pastor knew that person, maybe they're going to be able to tell you something useful. But most of the time, it's like, well, I didn't really know Frank, but his family tells me.
That's the worst. Yeah. That's what happened to Carl's funeral. I was like, I never had the pleasure of meeting Carl, but I have heard that this and that, and I can see from everyone. And she did a great job. She did. I mean, for that. But that is awful, and I don't like it.
It's sometimes those people aren't doing something wrong. They're just in a position where they are the person to do the thing.
It's their job. Right. It's what they're supposed to do. Yep. It angers me that you can't go into a church and say, can I deliver the eulogy?
Right.
And sometimes
maybe some churches, yeah.
There's some churches where somebody will be able to come up and deliver the eulogy, but in many of them, it has to be the pastor or the priest that delivers the eulogy for somebody they may not have ever met.
Yeah.
Other things I hate about funerals that we won't have to, none of us will have to worry about because we all want cremation, is open casket or a viewing of the body, like a wake with a viewing. Like, I don't want my corpse on display, like,
ever. It's such a weird tradition. I think it's very, I think that's very strange to me. There's been times where it was good to see for a closure thing, like with my grandpa, it was weird because it didn't look anything like him. So that made it what it's supposed to do is be like, there, see, physical evidence that this person you love is dead and not just gone to help you move on and grieve, right? But it didn't look like my grandpa because of the way that they had done his makeup. And also he had cancer and he had lost so much weight in those last days even that like he didn't look like him, which made it more surreal to be there.
Yeah.
But I would say for memorial service things that atheists have often that I don't want at mine, I don't want anyone playing acoustic guitar. I just don't want someone noodling around or playing sad acoustic guitar.
What if it's Jeffrey Brown and it's funny guitar?
I very much love Jeffrey and I love the guitar players I know, but I just want music played. I just want songs I loved. I want published music played. I don't want someone doing their version of a song. I don't want a band. I don't want someone who was paid to work my funeral. I think that's the weird thing. I don't want someone who was paid to work my service because I want everyone who's there to be there because they want to be there or because they work at the facility. And that's just what they do as a job.
I get that. I like that.
I gotta say, you know, and I understand some people, I feel very strongly about professionals get paid.
Yep.
But when our friend Anna died and I went to her best friends and her housemates who lived with her and I said, you know, she was a really big Dregs fan. Mm-hmm. And if you would like the Dregs to play at the funeral, we'll be happy to play at the funeral. And there was, you know, later in the week, he was like, you know, yeah, we definitely want to have you play the reception. We'll talk about remuneration later. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
I didn't ever think of
getting paid.
The idea that you would get paid.
I guess maybe it's not so much the money as it is the working it, as it were. You know, like I don't want anyone I don't want anyone to literally be obligated to go to my service. Mm-hmm. And that's what you guys are now, and that's okay. Like there's nothing wrong with it. Just for me personally, I am a person who doesn't like people to be obligated, to feel obligated to do anything with me. So I think that's like one last obligation that people would have to be with
me. Right, but I mean, we're not obligated. We offered. We wanted
to. Yeah,
sure.
It's different.
But
it's different.
Now you are.
Sure.
Because now you're obligated. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So, what, I forgot what I was going to ask.
I don't know.
Well.
You're the host. You're the
yeah, I know. It's just dreadful.
You should just die.
You know, just, yeah, I was just about to say the momentum just died there.
Please don't. You account for 2/3 of our income.
Funeral.
A cash cow.
Boy, sure do know how to make a guy feel loved.
I love you.
Time to go make some changes to my will.
what will?
Yeah, right.
Oh, snap.
So when someone close to you dies and you're getting ready to go to their funeral, I always feel like it's this weird, like when friends get married and you get like a save the date card and you have to RSVP and all that. Mm-hmm. Like the, you heard someone died is always to me like you heard someone got engaged and then you're waiting to find out the details of the funeral and then waiting like, it feels like a social event in a way that feels grim to me. Mm-hmm. Like, not bad or yeah. not. I'm not saying like, boof, we need funerals.
Like a wedding where you're like, this is a mistake and you have to go anyway.
Kinda, a little bit. Like, just usually when I'm going to a social function, if I'm not absolutely dreading it because I don't want to be around people, it's, I'm like, excited to go yeah. be around friends and
sure.
go do stuff.
It's a
and
show
go,
or
right,
we're
going to
yeah. do a thing.
And to, you could be going to a funeral and see people that you haven't seen in years that are old friends.
Yep.
And it's like, you can't
it's
be like,
movie.
Oh my God, I love you. You I haven't know, seen like, you in so long.
Yeah.
Oh, you're great to see you. Great to see you.
But you end up, yeah.
And then, but
the
then like.
Time, you spend the whole time going, wow, oh, it was really too bad about Frank.
Yeah.
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 Right. Oh. There's
you
no
know what's going on with Frank's kids.
Well, Carl's yeah. Carl's parents were like I dated Carl's brother for 6 years, and like Carl's parents were a huge part of my life, and so it was really great to see them. It was awful that we had to see each other that way, but we kind of said it that way. It was like oh my gosh, it's so wonderful to see you, and I'm so sorry. Why? It's kind of the
it's awkward.
It is awkward. There's no way around it, and it's.
Right.
And especially if it's, you know, it's funny. I always say, like, when my father dies, I honestly don't know if my stepmother will tell me because she doesn't like me very much. And I honestly don't know if she would. Like, he had shoulder surgery and no one let me know, you know, things like that. So, like, if I am told and I decide I'm going to the funeral, it'll be weird because it's going to be all of his family and all of her family and people that I haven't seen since I was about 17. And I don't want to see them. It won't be good to see them. And I don't know. I mean, and not just because he died. It just won't be good to see them because I have to.
It won't be comfortable.
Yeah.
Even if it was like
it's a weird
having you over for a positive thing.
There's so much around death that is thick.
Funerals are the worst. I mean, they really are. I mean, I hate them. Not because they are something that happens because people die, and not mm-hmm. not because death is a thing, but because I feel like most of the things surrounding funerals are bad ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we don't know how to deal with death, and so we deal with it as awkwardly as possible. I mean,
yeah.
I agree. Putting the dead person on display, it's like when my dad died and there was an open casket.
Oof.
And it was the first time I see my dad right after 2 weeks because
mm-hmm.
it took 2 weeks to get his body back in the country from
right,
Vienna.
Right.
And you know, you go and you look at him in the cat and it didn't look like my dad.
Of course not. A person
right.
is alive.
There wasn't anything that made that experience better.
Yeah.
There was no help
yeah.
provided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just.
It's an archaic ritual that I genuinely think is left over from like having to prove a person died. So that for like whatever money or property
yeah.
inheritance reasons, like.
Or you have family that lives, you
yeah.
know, far away or another country and it's going to take them weeks to get to you to be
it's
to the funeral.
Strange. Yeah.
So you have to do something to prove to
yeah,
yeah
it's weird
yeah.
it's a weird thing
yeah,
prove there wasn't murder or foul play.
Did we do it?
Funerals
did we put the fun in funerals?
maybe we did. How fun is a funeral to you? I don't
Boy.
Know
I feel
I would love to hear before we get to five questions listeners, what do you want at your funeral?
Yeah,
what is gonna make your
what
funeral,
do you want on your tombstone?
What do you want or not want?
Yeah.
At your funeral, are you not religious and you want some religious stuff or traditions at your funeral? Because that's important to you or your family?
I wonder, are there any atheists out there who want to be buried?
Right.
And can you even? Are there cemeteries where you can be buried if you are not religious?
Absolutely.
They might have to lie about it, but I'm sure there are.
Interesting. Yeah. No, there are.
Interesting.
Obviously for people who have served in the armed forces.
Well, sure, but let's say I want to be buried. Where would you go? Like, what would you do? Call a church and be like, "Can she? Oh, was she a part of our congregation? Nah, can she just park? I mean, I know I can buy a plot.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it.
There are a lot of cemeteries that aren't
for profit. They're affiliated with a funeral home.
They'd have to be cemeteries. They couldn't be graveyards.
Oh, right, because graveyards are attached to a church.
Yep.
Or the other way around.
No.
Yeah.
That's the difference. The difference between a cemetery and a graveyard.
Linguistics.
Well, we did it, everyone.
Yay. How fun.
That was a fun episode.
Molly, in the past, week and a half, we got, a small handful of five questions
and
answers.
We did actually get a good number of them. And we have someone is at the top of the queue because she is a Patreon subscriber. Rebecca Hensler from Grief Beyond Belief.
Which is interesting. She would end up on this podcast.
I know.
What a coincidence.
Yeah. I think we need to have her on, by the way. But we have these questions from her now. So that's fantastic.
Awesome.
All right.
Does she have anything to lead into them or just write into the questions?
Basically, she says she is just now writing to answer the five questions. And she is, because we are clearly closing the window on answering them if we haven't already. So she's making sure to get her answers
almost
in.
Did,
which
Rebecca.
You should too. We only have about six. So
yeah. Tim, do you want to start us off?
Damn, all this talk about funerals, I don't remember what number one is. Number one is, what's a conspiracy theory that you find most interesting or compelling?
To be honest, I am exposed to way too many conspiracy theories, and I generally don't want to hear about them. But I have helped spread the myth that there is a pool on the roof of the middle school at which I work. Teachers may have started the myth, but through a years-long game of telephone, the myth has become increasingly embroidered. So I have heard versions in which the pool is closed because a student drowned in it, or a student was deliberately drowned in it, or a student was drowned in it by a teacher. Oh. I stopped collaborating in this seemingly harmless prank when I had to suspend students who tried to break through the gate and get on the roof to see the pool up there.
Because it's haunted or whatever.
That's fucking great. I love those kinds of things. We had one of those in my college.
I heard that the turkey legs are the Renaissance Festival.
Those are actually emu. They're emu. Have you ever seen a turkey leg that big? No. Have you ever? When you have Thanksgiving dinner, is the turkey red?
No.
It's emu.
It's emu.
Cheaper for me.
Yeah. Question number two. What is your perfect two-week vacation?
So nerdy. I have always dreamed of being rich enough to charter a yacht and follow Aeneas's path from the site of Troy to the site of Carthage to Sicily to Cumae, the site of the Sibylla Aeneas visits, and then finally up the coast into Rome. Eventually by road, obviously, not by yacht.
Yeah.
The trip would be full of archaeological sites, museums, and amazing food.
Yeah.
That would be super cool.
Probably take longer than 2 weeks, but I'll allow it anyway because it sounds amazing.
It sounds
so
great.
A really fast boat.
Yeah. A power yacht.
Not spending any time actually visiting anything.
Nah.
Right.
Aeneas didn't.
Actually, from what I understand from the film, the documentary film Wonder Woman, traveling by boat in that region is actually pretty quick.
It does seem to be.
Not only that, she doesn't need that much time for sacking Carthage, etc., because it's mostly been sacked.
Yeah.
Your destination's
hardly come any
pre-sacked.
Libraries to burn down or anything.
All right, question number three. What is a movie or book that changed your life and how or why?
Mine started with a joke that ended up shaping my career. In 1999, Greta Christina and some friends and I went to see 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, it's a movie.
The school counselor character, Ms. Perky, brilliantly played by Allison Janney, is writing smut between appointments. My friends immediately started whispering, "That's you, Rebecca," because I was an HIV counselor at the time and wrote Buffy the Vampire Slayer slash fic in my spare hours.
Perfect.
I responded derisively, like they would let me be a school counselor. A few weeks later, Columbine happened, and I found myself Googling California school counselor. The rest is history. By the way, school counselors do not have time, quote, between appointments, to write anything. That's great. I also love that it was going to turn into her writing slash fiction.
When I thought like she was going to be a pro slash fiction.
It's
writer. I do love that the middle school counselor is the one helping with the myth about the pool. You're a trusted official.
Tim, what she doesn't isn't telling us is that she is Chuck Tingle. Mystery unveiled.
Well, I'm going to be producing a show.
Exciting.
So question number four. What is the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
My wife and I are road geeks. So we have driven all over California and much of the country, avoiding interstates, driving the historic U.S. highways, and taking long detours to find the traces of the old roads. We have even driven over the hills that are now traversed by Interstate 5's famous Grapevine on a dirt road that was traveled by Model Ts en route to Los Angeles in the earliest years of automobile travel. And our collection of early highway maps, promotional train pamphlets, and other transportation ephemera is prodigious. That sounds awesome.
Also, she used the word prodigious.
And ephemera.
Yeah. In the same
ephemera
sentence.
Is a good word. Mm-hmm.
I have like a zip file of documents that I think I need to give to Rebecca.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Is the zip file an ephemera?
I did scans of an underground guide for train hopping.
Oh yeah.
Through America.
Oh, you should totally send those to
her. Has all of the different train yards. It's pre 9/11, so the security's been stepped up in all those places. But it's the train hopping guide that crust punks and stuff used to get around America by hopping trains.
That's awesome.
That includes like, here's where I cut a hole in the fence at this place and that sort of thing.
I bet you could send it to her through Patreon because is a Patreon subscriber.
Yeah, good idea. I'm gonna write a note.
And speaking of being a Patreon supporter, question number five. What's your favorite hangover cure?
I don't get hungover. I'm the annoying one who bounces in the next morning and says, who wants breakfast? So instead, my favorite atheist fictional character is Jean-Luc Picard. I hope you can still use these. If not, it was fun answering anyway. Rebecca. Thank you so much, Rebecca. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't get hangovers either. I just want to point that out. I've never gotten a hangover.
Well,
therefore, I do not get hangovers.
You've never gone through the effort of trying. Like, you've never done the work, Tim.
I have been drunk, I believe, once in my life. So I just want you to know, I think I was drunk once, and I don't remember having a hangover the next morning. Therefore, I don't get hangovers. There we are.
Yeah. It's like saying the person who waited at the finish line got there first. Therefore, they won the race. All right. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for your answers. If you want to send in your answers to our five questions, you can send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. You can spell that word or just hit in the number, however lazy or preferential you are.
The future.
That's what we have. Email aliases. Wow, amazing. We are Geeks Without God. You can get these episodes early, sometimes weeks early, by just throwing us a few bucks a month on Patreon. We have buttons and stickers that we're working on sending out another batch of here. I keep forgetting to remind Molly to print more buttons for us. Molly, print more buttons for us.
Okay,
so I can make
I'll
more
do
buttons.
It. I will print
Thank
the buttons.
You. Molly is the one that has been doing all the printing, and I've been doing the button making and sending, and sometimes we're slow.
It's happening.
And forgetful. But it's happening for real. We have all the stuff to do it. And the reason we have the stuff to do it is because of amazing people like you folks that are supporting us. So thank you, especially to everyone out there on Patreon that's throwing us some bucks.
We'll have some special episodes coming up because we've got some great ideas for new special episodes.
Oh, yeah. That'd be so awesome. And we're still thinking about doing a ghost hunting episode in the future once the weather warms up a bit and we actually have a fun idea to make that happen regardless of whether or not they sell enough tickets to make it happen. So on that note, we've been Geeks Without God. Don't forget to tell us all about how you're going to put the fun in your funeral at Facebook, Twitter, or at geekswithoutgod.com. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Checkmate. No need to plan a funeral when I don't plan on dying.
We're geeks without God. God, we don't recognize moral authority, we don't accept divine superiority, we're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Dun 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 da da dun da da.